You are innocence personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I'm cold like December.
Mike Sullivan is not a finalist for Coach of the Year in the National Hockey League. That's the Jack Adams Award that was announced today. First, Sid gets snubbed as an MVP finalist. Letang gets snubbed as a Norris finalist for best defenseman. And now you got this. The finalists for Coach of the Year are Florida with Cunneville, Evason from Minnesota, Brindamore from Carolina. For my money, by the way, the winner is Rod Brindamore with the Carolina Hurricane. All them guys did a great job coaching, but Sullivan won the division title without Geno for almost half the year. They went 16-5-2 in games played without Evgeny Malkin. They took CeCe and Matheson and made him into a legit number two defense pair. But the informal rule is, if you've already won a cup with that team, you're not going to get Coach of the Year moving forward. And if you've got Crosby and Malkin, you're not going to get Coach of the Year. So I am not outraged, nor am I surprised. Sid ain't a finalist for MVP. Sully ain't a finalist for Coach of the Year. Letang could have been a finalist for Best D for the Norris, but he's not. But I don't care, because anything that's voted on means nothing. So hey, NHL Awards, guess what?
You just made the list!
Ooh, that was a bad own goal to open the scoring for Italy. When it hits you square in your core and goes in the net, I mean, make a better play. Then again, half the turkeys in Europe, half the turkeys in Asia, they probably got confused. Maybe all their good defenders live in the Asian half and are so ineligible. No, they're all eligible. The list brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Continental Name You Can Trust, dial 412-367-0815 for all your plumbing needs. You know what I'd like to get more calls about? We talked about the Jen Sterger story. You know, her and Brett Favre, 2008. Favre suffered no consequences, even though he was clearly in the wrong. Sterger had her career ruined, even though she was in the right. But I brought up at the end of that conversation, because Sarah Spain was supposed to join us today, but for some reason canceled. We'll work on rescheduling her or finding out why she canceled and then commenting on that. But I spoke that when a member of the media dates somebody they cover, that is about as unprofessional as it gets. And I had somebody, Christine was her name, call the show. She wanted to say I was wrong. And I got a couple tweets in that regard too. Okay, if you date someone, and it could be female, male, male, female, male, male, female, female, I don't give a rat's ass about any of that. But if you date somebody you're paid to objectively cover, how is that anything but the height of unprofessionalism? The height of unprofessionalism. You know, we want to talk about how women have gotten the short end of the stick in sports media, and they have, and I empathize. And what happened to Sterger was terrible. But that doesn't excuse unprofessionalism on the part of anybody. Even Sarah Spain admitted that she didn't take Jen Sterger's claim seriously because of the way Sterger looked and the way she dressed when she was the in-game host for the New York Jets, wearing Jets gear provocatively cut up to display her attributes. I mean, we all make mistakes, right? But dating someone, and I'll be blunt, if I ever tell these stories, whoo, watch out. There have been members of the Pittsburgh media that have run afoul of this, and I have some really salacious stories I know are true, and I'd get crucified for telling them, but I know they're true. But you should not date someone you cover. And that goes for sports, politics, any walk of journalism. Once you date someone you cover, you are not a journalist anymore. At least not in that regard. At least not when it comes to covering that person and really that sport. Because you've been compromised, period. Compromised, period. If you want to argue that, I'd love to argue that. But I don't think you can argue that. Christine, where are you at? Where are you at, Christine? Call up and tell me where I'm wrong. Because I think you'll sound like a dummy. Let's go to Scott in Pittsburgh. Scott, you're on with Mark.
Hey, what up, man?
What up, man?
Hey, I was calling about the Stanley Cup final. I think I agree with you with the, well, in fact, I'm betting on it. The Islanders and the Knights. I think the Knights take it in six. But
see, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are probably the best team, but only by a small fraction over Vegas. And I think that Tampa Bay will get worn out by having to play the Islanders, even if they do advance. But Vegas is going to wipe out Montreal. I just think Montreal is going to come to a quick end after having pulled the two upsets. Carey Price has played well, and he might continue to, but I'm not sure he can play well enough to steal a third straight series, let alone one from Vegas.
Well, yeah, especially with Fleury playing the way he is now. I agree. Hey, one other thing. I knew you were talking about the vaccines, and you know, I'm not going to ask you or say what I got, but I'll say what I got. I got the Pfizer vaccine, and
I got Moderna, and I would get vaccinated again tomorrow. I had no hesitation in doing so.
Me either, man. I'd rather be able to go out and do what I want to do and, you know, not put the mask on or whatever.
I just don't see the risk. And if people think they do or they don't know enough, I don't know who they expect to tell them, because I think we've been told all we're going to know. Let's go to Joe in Overbrook. Joe, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Double M. I'm thinking that Vegas is going to take it all. I'm putting all my money on now, Mark Andre. But I wanted to talk to you about Chris Letang. Have you seen his transformation from his trainer?
What do you mean his transformation? He's always been a conditioning nut. What do you mean a transformation?
He really bulked up. He became a solid.
No, he looks about like he has since I've known him. Maybe a little bigger, maybe a little more impressive given his age, which is 34. But this is nothing new with Chris Letang. He's always been a monument to physical conditioning, which is why I believe he's a better bet to sign to an extension than Malkin, if you picked one or the other. But I think they're going to sign both. I really do. I think Malkin, Letang, and Crosby will all finish their careers as Penguins. You know what part of that is? I think it's 95% certain Sid would never ask out no matter what. But if they sign Malkin and Letang because that's what Sid wants, then Sid can never ask out. They could say, this is what you wanted. It did not work. It's on you as much as anybody. You're not going anywhere. You know what? That's a good column. That's off the top of my head. That's real good stuff. Boy, I never stop creating. I just can't help it. Up next, from Nigeria, he is royalty. From WWE, it's Apollo Crews. Don't forget, WWE at the PPG Paints Arena, July 24th for the WWE Super Show. Tickets are on sale now. Apollo Crews next here on 105.9.
Get sports, insight, opinions, commentary, and analysis from Madden and Benz online at triplive.com.
This report is
compelling and rich.
DX at 105.9.
Apollo! WWE is back on the road. The WWE Super Show comes to PPG Paints Arena on July 24th, and tickets are on sale now. Joining me is WWE's Intercontinental Champion. He is Apollo Crews. Apollo, you recently declared yourself Nigerian royalty, and I was shocked to learn you actually are of Nigerian descent. I figured it was just a typical wrestling gimmick. Why did that take so long to show up with your wrestling character?
You know, some things, yeah, they take time, you know. And if I'm honest, if this would have happened any earlier, I don't know if I would have been ready to commit to it as a performer, if I'm honest. So everything happens when it's supposed to happen, and now the world can see just how great I am. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, no, no. So far, so good. I think this version of you is working very well. I mean, you're the IC champ, and it's tough to tell without crowds, Apollo, but it seems like the character's getting over, doesn't it?
It does, and that, and what you said there is very true. It's very tough to tell without crowds, because maybe I can go in front of a crowd and it can be silent, or it can go the other way. So it's very difficult to gauge. But we are coming back in front of crowds very soon, and I'm very excited to be performing in front of crowds, especially with, you know, the new direction that I'm going in and that I've been going in. So I'm excited to get this thing back on the road. It's been a long year, you know, and a lot has changed. And, you know, we have adjusted to new times, to different times. What was normal is not normal anymore. Now we are going to back to what used to be normal. So who knows what is normal anymore. But what I do know is that we are coming to Pittsburgh and we're going to be in front of a live audience. Yeah, Intercontinental Champion is going to be in front of live audiences again. And I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, let's talk about how difficult it was without the crowds, because so much in wrestling depends on reading the crowd's reaction, doesn't it?
It does. It does. At first, I remember we were in the performance center, and there wasn't even the LED screens with people's faces on them. It was just, you know, at first it was nobody in there. So making that adjustment was extremely difficult. But then over time, it became what is normal now. You know, so for me, I don't even realize anymore when I'm out there performing that nobody's there. When we had WrestleMania and there was that crowd, though, I felt those chills. I felt that feeling. I wanted to feel more of it again. And I knew that I really and truly had missed performing in front of the live audience. There's nothing like it at all.
Well, let's talk about WrestleMania, because there was a crowd at Mania, which is when you won the Intercontinental title from Big E. What's it like to have that proverbial WrestleMania moment? The guys I've talked to that have experienced that, there's really nothing like it, right?
There's nothing like it. And I truly don't think I have. So for me, I'm a very, very strict individual. So I woke up the next day and I went straight to the gym. You know, I didn't even take time to truly, truly enjoy and celebrate it. But in that moment when my hand was raised and the music was playing and there was fireworks, there's no moment like that I've ever experienced in my life. That is the moment that, as a kid, that I dreamt of being in. That's the moment that, ever since I started wrestling, that is the moment that I was waiting for. And it lived up to everything. It was all that I could imagine. My fiance was there, and, you know, unfortunately, my family wasn't there, but you know, they got to watch on TV, and there's nothing, no feeling like it. I can't even put it into words, you know. That's something that everybody I wish can experience one time in their life, whatever, you know, their ultimate dream is. I hope that everybody gets to experience that one time in their life.
What does holding the Intercontinental title mean to you? Because that's traditionally a stepping stone to bigger and better in WWE, and certainly the tradition, the past holders. Boy, it is an impressive list, isn't it?
Very impressive. The list goes on and on, and to be a part of that list is an honor. You know, my name is in history. You know, so, and the way that I got to win it is even, it makes it even that much sweeter. But it's an honor. I love every part of it. I'm enjoying it thoroughly, and I'm trying my best to bring to keep the prestige and to keep the title up to that level that we all look at it, you know, and with that list of names, all the great people who have held that title. I want to make sure that I'm living up to those names and those expectations. But hopefully I'm doing a good job, but, you know, who knows? I don't know, but in my eyes, I feel like I'm doing a very good job. It's an honor, though. It's an honor. At the end of the day, it's an extreme honor. Sometimes I wake up and, you know, it's one of those things where is it real or is it not? But it's very real. It's very real.
Now, besides that win at Mania, what have been some of your other big career moments? I like that feud with the Hurt Business. I thought that really got your character going, and it started the momentum you're carrying through today.
100%. Winning the United States title was another one. That was my first championship in WWE, period. I didn't win any championships in NXT, but working with MVP, Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric for a little bit, I mean, those guys, you know, what they have done already, you know, their careers speak for themselves. I don't even have to say much about them, but they helped me tremendously. And you see what Lashley is doing now. You know, he's still shining. So for me, it was great to be able to work with those guys and the experience that they have. You know, they've been around the business for years and years, and for them to be able to pass some of the knowledge that they have, just even if it was a little bit, anything that they could help me with, they were willing to help me. Anything they could do to make me a better superstar, a better human being, whatever it was, they would do it. They would take the time to help me. So I have nothing but great things to say about them, and I appreciate that time that I got to work with them.
Now, Apollo, you're 33, which is often a wrestler's prime. What are your remaining career goals?
To be Universal Champion or WWE Champion, to headline WrestleMania. I feel like I have a lot left to do. You know, maybe a couple more, another United States Championship reign. I feel like there's so much here that can be done, and I want to do it all. You know, at the end of the day, I want to have a Hall of Fame career, and I want to look back and see that I truly enjoyed my career and I took advantage of every moment. So, you know, they say maybe I'm at my prime, but I don't feel like it. I feel like I still have a very, very long way to go, and I'm very excited about the future.
And finally, Apollo, how did you find out you were royalty? I'm guessing Ancestry.com. It's kind of like coming to America, except you kick ass, you know?
you don't know my father. You know, speaking with my father and learning about his family and his background, his great grandfather was a chief, you know, in what we Benue State. I'm part of the T tribe, and learning about his ancestry and his past is very good. You know, growing up, they didn't teach us a lot about it, so. For me, I really wanted to go back and learn and really understand where he came from and where we came from, and especially to help me with everything that I'm doing now. So just talking to him and picking his brain, I learned, you know, so many things. So it's pretty cool because everybody's so unique, and it's nice to understand, you know, where my family really came from.
Apollo, great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll see you in Pittsburgh on July 24th.
Sounds good. You enjoy your day. Thank you.
That is Apollo Crews, WWE Intercontinental Champion. World Wrestling Entertainment is back on the road. The Super Show coming to PPG Paints Arena July 24th. Tickets are on sale right now. This is the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.
If you're in the mood for some country music, we got you.
Head on over to Big 104.7.
You look just like your mama.
Think stupid.
The X at 105.9.
Okay, I'm really bored, so we're going to do Ask Mark Anything for the rest of the show. One of these days, I'm going to show up and just say it's Ask Mark Anything for all 3 hours and Ask Mark Anything for the rest of my career and see how long I can get away with that before they call me on it. I bet I could get away with it for over a year. And I bet it would be over 6 or 8 months before it even started to show up a little bit in the ratings. Anyway, Ask Mark Anything right now. I would like to talk about the note, because I've got, you see, I hate when I get tweets, but people won't call on a subject. And I talked before about how, while I am totally in Jen Stoker's corner and always have been with the Brett Favre controversy, which, you know, became a topic again because Sarah Spain of ESPN wrote a very good article about it at ESPN.com, and also had a podcast with Jen Stoker. Sarah was supposed to be on the show today, but we're trying to reschedule. Maybe we'll just get Jen Stoker on. Just go straight to the source. But while I am totally in Jen Stoker's corner, and it's just a crime that she got canceled and Brett Favre did not, when it should have been vice versa, and it's terrible that she got treated so terribly by her own account when the NFL investigated and spoke to her totally improperly, I still don't believe that anybody covering sports should date anybody they cover. And that has happened countless times. Erin Andrews married a hockey player. She dated a bunch of athletes before that. Who was it dated the pitcher? Josh Beckett. He dated a media member. Just shouldn't happen. And once you do that, you compromise yourself as a journalist forever. You just do. So It shouldn't happen, but it does happen. But we kind of push that under the rug because, frankly, we cut somebody like Aaron Andrews a break. So I think that's to be discussed too. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Trying to find who Josh Beckett dated here. Oh, Leanne Tweed, who covered sports. And then, of course, she got Al Franken canceled because he grabbed her boobs when she was asleep for a photo, which he shouldn't have done. But, again, unprofessional is unprofessional. There are degrees of unprofessional, don't get me wrong. Let's go to Kev in Newcastle. Kev, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. Avid fan. I've called a few times. This Saturday, I'm going with friends to the Riverhounds game. I was wondering if you'd be there and if you'd buy me a beer for my birthday.
No, I will not buy you a beer. I do not associate with the Marks unless it's by accident. And by trying to plan it, you immediately disqualified yourself. But happy birthday anyway. I may well be at the Riverhounds game. Have not yet decided. Happy birthday. That would be the kind of thing where if you were to come up to me at the Riverhounds game and told me it was his birthday, I might have bought him a beer. But if you try to book it, like I'm not a restaurant. You don't get to make a reservation. By the way, the Riverhounds are at home Saturday. I should go. I haven't gone to a game yet. Maybe I'll text Tuffy Schallenberger, the owner, and check it out. I really do enjoy the Riverhounds, and if you can go, you should go. Well, even Ask Mark Anything's not drawing a crowd. And this is bad, too, because I can't leave early because traffic's backed all the way up, like you heard them say a moment ago. There's an accident by the tunnels. Traffic on the parkway toward town is backed up all the way to 79. You know what I'll do? I'll just sit and make all my vacation reservations on the computer here instead of on the computer at home. I still can't get over that people want to talk about Marc-Andre Fleury and the Penguins should have kept him. And still don't understand that Jim Rutherford did what any GM ever would have done. I can't believe the people refused to see that. We had a bunch of dorks come up with scenarios as to why they should have done it and what deals they could have made. If Sullivan would have kept Fleury in after he stole the Washington series, which I would have, then maybe you got an argument if Fleury stays in goal for the distance and wins the Stanley Cup, which I believe he would have, in fact. That would have made the decision much easier to make. Then again, Murray winning his second cup in a row and having two shutouts to close out the series against Nashville, that made the decision very easy as well. Let's go to D in Weirton. D, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark.
What's up, D?
Want to know what you're going to do in retirement and if you plan on sticking around the area.
I don't plan on retiring. I think I'll die while I'm still employed if they'll have me here. Would I stick around the area? If I ever had to retire because there was no work to be done, I would probably get a house on the lake at Conneaut.
Gotcha. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Let's go to Mike in the car. Mike, you're on with Double M.
In your opinion, what are the top five most physical sports?
I'm not going to go top five, brah. That's just too lengthy a list. You mean physically demanding or physically violent in terms of damaging the body?
Demanding on the body.
Well, you see, again, you're not defining. Do you mean, like, because the sport that requires the most cardio is undoubtedly soccer. The sport that does the most physical damage is undoubtedly football because you're banging on every play. Then again, not every guy is banging on every play, but the linemen certainly are.
Agreed.
What do you think? Boxing. He said, not acting like he cared.
Okay, I got boxing, motocross, tennis.
Goodbye. You're dope. Boxing, motocross, and tennis. I bet you try to do all three at once, you dink. Tennis. You think tennis has more cardio involved in soccer? How could you be so stupid as to think that? Motocross. Like, that's a sport. Motocross. Give me a friggin' break. Motocross. Let's go to Aaron on 79. which the parkway's backed up all the way to. Aaron, you're on the air.
Oh, super. Can't wait to get there. Hey, I hope I can upstage that guy before me. My question is, Mike Ruff obviously played hockey. He grew up in Cleveland. Did he play for the Barons as a mite?
How would I know that?
I don't know. You guys are on the phone together quite a bit.
Just right, curious. And his mite career in hockey often comes up. I do not know. Well, now it's really time to ask Mark anything. Call 412-333-WXDX and ask me anything you like. When do the Stanley Cup semifinals start? I can't wait for the battle between the stripper capitals of North America, Montreal and Las Vegas. Oh, my God. Could you imagine covering that series and flying back and forth? One night, you're at Chez Paris. The next night, you're at Sapphire. One night, you're at Wicked Wanda's. The next, they're being delivered to your room. I've seen the trucks. I've seen the handouts. I've seen the billboards. Hot girls coming to your room. So dial now and ask Mark anything. 412-333-WXDX.
Hi, car needs a tune-up. Getting ready to finally hit the open road.
A road trip, huh? Got a Febreze Carvent clip in there.
Febreze Carvent?
Yeah. I think I'm the coolest guy, period, but what's up?
VX at 105.9.
Time to ask Mark anything as we wrap the show up. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. It's brought to you by FoxBet. Make the call. Download the app today. It's for adults 21 and over. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go to Rich and Mercer. Rich, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, big fan.
What up?
Calling to see your favorite place to stay in Conneaut Lake and what you like to do when you're in Conneaut Lake.
I stay at the Hotel Conneaut every time, like I did when I was a boy. I visit my friends Rob and Becky Shellhaus and their family. They have a wonderful house on the lake. I tried to make it to Silver Shores for dinner, but I did not this past time. I tried Ice House Pizza for the first time, and it was wonderful. I get donuts at the Golden Dawn Supermarket. They're the best donuts in the world. I get apple strudel at the Strudel Place. I forget what it's called. It might be just called the Strudel Place. I go to Eddie's Hot Dogs, and I go to Casey's Ice Cream, and sometimes Hank's Custard, and I gain way too much weight. And I like to walk through the park, walk on the boardwalk, and just reminisce about my youth. That's pretty much it. Let's go to Greg in Pittsburgh. Greg, ask Mark anything.
Hi, Mark. How you doing, man?
What up?
I just want to talk about the Islanders, and obviously Trotz came in, and when he shaved 100 goals, and they've just been buying into that system and refining it ever since. My question is, do you think they're one of the best defensive teams you've ever seen?
I hadn't thought of that, but I could make that argument to myself, yeah. I mean, they're a really good defensive team. I just think they make the game boring. I think anything that emphasizes system over stars makes any game boring. Anything that emphasizes efficiency over entertainment makes any game boring. But that's where we're at, not just with hockey, but with sports, period.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree except Islanders fans.
No, I think that anybody who... Yeah, you're right. Like any fan of any team who plays like that and wins would be fine with it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Let's go to Ken in Sacramento. Ken, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, why is it in hockey? It seems like all the time when equipment or sticks break, stuff falls on the ice, it stays there for several minutes before anyone picks it up or moves it.
Well, who should pick it up and move it?
The ref, somebody, the player.
Okay, now if the ref goes to do and gets caught out of position to make a call, what do you say then?
Well, is that the reason why it happens so often?
It gets picked up when it's convenient. A player's not going to pick it up if it's broken. A ref is only going to pick it up if he can do so without being caught out of position as a result.
But not even when the player loses the stick, why doesn't he go back to get a stick?
Because sometimes he's closer to the bench to get a new stick, and he's not sure if the stick he dropped is broken or not. Why are you so concerned about this? I've never heard anybody even care remotely about this.
No, I don't know. It just seems like you see that in your focus, and you know you're looking at that stick, and people are you know skating around it, and
no, you're looking at that stick. Nobody else is. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Patrick in North Hills. Patrick, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark, what up?
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, besides the Penguins, who are your favorite two or three NHL jerseys?
Montreal Canadiens. That's my favorite jersey, period. I think it's a wonderful jersey, especially the red ones with the stripe that goes around the middle.
Yeah, those are sweet. One of my favorites. You have one other one?
I really like the Blackhawks logo. I think they could do a bit better with the jersey. You know, I sound like an Original Six guy, but I like most of the Original Six jerseys. I like the tradition. I love the Red Wings jerseys, too, the red ones.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from the classics. I thought the two teams last night, Avalanche and Vegas, are pretty sweet for newer teams.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the carny about it, a little bit of the trying too hard, but I like the old school ones. My favorite jersey of all time is the Penguins jersey from the mid-70s, the one that was almost a navy blue with some black trim in addition to the white. I thought the Penguins made a mistake when they went black and gold like every other friggin' team in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Mercy in Johnstown. Mercy, you're on with Double M. You're on the air, and now you're not on the air. Let's go to Matt in the garage. Matt, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. I was hoping you could explain the last change in hockey to me. Like, I think you have your choice to take it, and what is the big deal about it?
Well, last change is gone to the home team. The home team gets to make last change. That means he can determine who's on the ice for his team after the other coach does. And it's important because you can get favorable matchups. Like Vegas has done getting the Chandler Stephenson line out there against the Nathan MacKinnon line. A matchup with the Stephenson line has won by blanketing the MacKinnon line. So it can be important, yes.
All right. I was wondering my whole life, so thank you.
Well, now I've answered one of the burning questions that's troubled you your whole life. Here's one from Twitter. Do you miss Mama Bears at Conneaut? Yes, I do. It had two locations. It was a breakfast place. The one right by the park at Conneaut Lake, it misspelled breakfast on the sign, had breakfast with no K, and that was a running joke between me and my mother, calling breakfast breakfast for years. D tweets, checking in on your mental health and return to normal life. How are you doing? I'm still doing therapy. I'm doing okay with my return to normal life. I'm growing old in terms of the way I feel at an alarming rate, and that disturbs me. But all things considered, I guess I'm doing okay. Kenny Robinson tweets, what are your thoughts on Jordan Henderson receiving the MBE? Jordan Henderson, of course, is Liverpool's captain. One of my favorite Liverpool players ever. A great leader and a great player, and has recently lifted the European Cup in 2019 and the Premier League trophy in 2020. I'm not quite sure what the MBE is. I think it's member of the British Empire. I think it's given for meritorious service to the Empire. It's just short of knighthood, which Hendo did with all the health concerns during the pandemic. So I'm a big Jordan Henderson fan. I mean, a monstrous Jordan Henderson fan. And anything that he achieves, I support. Caesar tweets, are you going to do the Best Wrestling Show podcast with somebody else? Yeah, maybe. Supposed to talk to Conrad Thompson about getting involved with him, but we'll see how that works out. There's no hurry to do that. I want to do it, but I have enough work to do. I'm sure I'll do it again. Francesco tweets, why aren't you a weekly staple on the Pat McAfee Show? Well, you would have to ask Pat that. Let's go to Bill in Mars. Bill, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Great.
I wanted to talk to you about Yellowstone. My wife binge-watched it over 3 days.
Oh, don't do any spoilers. Don't do any spoilers.
I won't do that for you, but I wanted to make a comment about the show.
See, you're going to give me a spoiler. Goodbye. You're inadvertently going to give me a spoiler. I would have loved to have talked about it, and we'll talk about it when I'm done watching the three seasons, but you would have inadvertently revealed something I do not want to know. Let's go to Nathan at Omaha. Nathan, ask Mark anything.
Yo, what's up, Big Sexy?
What up?
If you could choose any uniform from the Penguins past to make it their new alternate.
I literally said this a little bit ago. I would pick the Penguins from the mid-70s, the blowing it to the Islanders era. Dark blue, black and white trim. I've grown to understand why we need to be black and gold, because Stillers, but I'd rather they had stuck with blue.
Why don't they use the, like, pigeon logo from the 90s ever? Like, even as, like...
Oh, I'm glad they don't. I like the traditional logo, the skating penguin in front of the golden triangle, which in the old days, the Penguins never did it. You never saw it in a jersey, but you would see people who would tilt the triangle so the penguin would be running as opposed to gliding on a skate like you do on a skate. Let's go to Joe in Crafton. Joe, ask Mark anything.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mark.
What's up?
Listen, I was asking your call guy there about Crosby. He seems to be, to me, like he has the same attitude that Brady has. They remind me of each other in their different sports. And I think it's just about winning.
It's impossible to make that comparison until Sid's in his 40s and we see what happens between now and then. But I think there is a comparison between Brady to Sid at this point in Sid's life and career. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say.
I think they're totally dedicated and totally get it.
And I love that about them both. Anyway, but thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Here's some news. The Pirates have reached the 85% vaccination plateau, meaning nobody has to wear a mask in the dugout anymore. Let's go to Jeff in Aliquippa. Jeff, you're on with Mark.
Mark, how's your cat doing after the pandemic?
Oh, the cat never missed a beat. The cat's not affected by the pandemic. I mean, she's still mean as a snake and tries to damage everything she possibly can. You know what she did not too long ago? She loves strings like cats do. She took one of my shoes and took the lace totally out of it.
No.
That's amazing, isn't it? How did she do that? I wasn't even mad, he said, sounding like Will Ferrell in Anchorman. But I was pretty mad, actually. Let's go to Woodrow in Katanning. Woodrow, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark. Quick wrestling question. When I was a kid, I went to a local match here in Pittsburgh and met a wrestler. I want to know what you could tell me about him, and was he from around here? Ivan Putski.
Polish power! He wasn't from around here, no. He was part of the touring company of WWE, but he was a big attraction back then. His finisher was the Polish hammer. Let's go to Noah in Greensburg. Noah, you're on with Double M.
What up, Big Sexy?
What up?
My question is, how do you think Liverpool and the Penguins will do in the playoffs next season, considering who they have?
Liverpool doesn't play in the playoffs. There are no playoffs in the English Premier League.
I'm sorry, it depends. I don't know anything about Liverpool.
That's very clear. I don't know. And how do I know? They'll win the cup. Thank you for the call. That's it. That's the list. IWC Wrestling in where the hell is it? Elizabeth tomorrow. River Hunts tomorrow. Go see something. Britt Baker at Steel City Con, 105.9.
Pittsburgh's rock alternative. An iHeartRadio station. WXDX FM, Pittsburgh.